James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Sorry. Thank Chase and Reed for that. They put me on the spot. They say, hey, you got to do it in Spanish. So we definitely, we went for it, but I'm not going to do that to you guys on this Monday edition, because we are going to talk plenty of football and in English, by the way, but plenty to talk about. A lot of exciting stuff to talk about. Again, Alabama coming up with another big time win, this time over the Vanderbilt Commodores. I'm sure you guys have plenty of thoughts about this game. I know I definitely do. And really a lot of positives. So we definitely are looking forward to diving into that. And per usual, like we like to do on these Mondays, we're going to break it down in depth. Obviously, I will give you guys my thoughts, and I'm going to try to pull up some tape and show some specific plays that we can dive into, especially with certain things like, number one, I mean, the running game. How about that? Something that we've been saying for I don't know how long. Man, we just need to establish that running game, right? We finally got that, and it was a big piece of this game. There's several big runs, you know, throughout the game that we had, again, 6-7-plus yard runs that I want to just put on the screen and kind of show the difference of why these, you know, were successful runs and why they hadn't really been in weeks past. So we'll definitely probably plan on doing that, maybe a couple other key plays in the game. So anyways, you guys know how we like to do. We're going to break down some tape. I'm going to talk about it. I definitely want to hear from you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. We'd love to get you guys on the phone line and talk about it. But heads up. As you guys know, typically, I normally end up spending like the first 30 minutes really diving in to the breakdown. So if you guys want to wait a few minutes, feel free to do that. But I promise we will get you guys. But also remember, with Monday also comes press conferences. And I know we're kind of always behind trying to get to those, playing catch up. But the goal is to at least get the head coach Kalen DeBoer's press conference for today. So we will hear from him. He typically goes on around 11:45, give or take. So maybe we'll catch it live. If not, we'll definitely get to it hour number two. But that's pretty much what I got on the schedule, man. Full Alabama Vanderbilt breakdown again. Nice 30-14 victory over the Commodores. Speaking of the score, I don't believe that we had anybody get the score prediction right. Not at least from the notes that I had. And this time I tried to get everybody that I could in my notes. And there was no 30-24. If somebody happened to have a 30-24 that I missed, definitely drop that proof, right? Don't try to finagle us now. We got to have proof, and it's got to show that it was from prior to the game. But if you did, that would be cool. But I thought this was going to be the weekend, guys. For some reason, I was like, man, I had a feeling this might be the weekend. But I guess it just goes to show you, man, guessing the score is a lot more difficult than you would think. So I don't know. Hopefully we have more luck coming up. We got another challenge this weekend, obviously going on the road facing Missouri. We'll do the score predictions then. Maybe you guys can get that one right, but we'll keep on rolling with it. But I'm seeing everybody rolling in on the chat here on our YouTube stream, which reminds me to tell you guys that you can always join us on YouTube at The Miller's Edge. Again, completely free. All we ask is you just drop a like on the streams and subscribe. That way you stay up to date with everything. And you can watch us do the show live here. And I'll, like I mentioned with the film, you can see me put the tape on the screen, all that. But for all our radio listeners, which again, that's our main platform, I always explain it as best as I can. So no worries. If you're listening on radio, keep doing that. That's awesome. This is just an added element for all you guys that do prefer the visuals. That being said, I do see Bama Ball said 30-14 in the comments. Did you leave that from Friday? Maybe you did. Or maybe you're just playing around trolling. I'll go back and look, but I don't think I had you written down. I don't see you right here on my notes. So maybe I missed it. Maybe you did get it right. I see Q06 in here. Hope you had a great time. I know you were here in town. I think I saw you post a picture from the game or around the stadium, which is cool, man. I always love when you guys get down here and enjoy it. I know we were talking with Reed before we hopped on here, and Reed was saying that he was on duty filming the game, and he said that there were some third down situations where he said the camera was shaky. So, wait, he was correcting you. You kept saying 30-24. Oh, did I say 30-24? Wait, dang, my bad. 30-14. Did I really say 30-24? Whoops, my bad, guys. It's a Monday. And that's bad because I'm literally staring at the box score right here on my screen. Did I say 30-24? I apologize. 30-14, man. Oh, okay. Wait. Okay, maybe not because now, hold on. Bama Ball saying no, he made the prediction. I'm going to go back. During the break, I'm going to go back and see if you did, man. You got to sign football and a couple other things coming your way. If that's the case, we got to go back and look, man. Maybe we did get it right. Stacy put 30-14, so I guess maybe I did make a mistake. We'll get that cleared up in a second. But again, that's what we got planned here on the show. So I'm going to break the game down. We come back. Just my initial thoughts. We'll hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer here in a little bit. We'll pull up some clips. That way we can dive into the tape because I know you guys enjoy that. And we'll keep on rolling and talk with you, of course, right here on the phone lines. Plus, don't forget about the Tide 100.9 app. It is completely free. You can listen to the shows wherever you're at with that app. Plus, you can always drop app messages if you prefer to do it that way. And you also are able to leave voice messages. So if you can't call in, you can literally record yourself and then we can play the message. So it's as if you kind of run the phone lines, but not really. You guys get the deal. Again, we are presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Again, they are doing that Good Feet Kick for Cash challenge. Make sure you guys sign up for that right now. GoodFeetKickForCash.com is the website. Again, literally just make a field goal. You got a chance to win up to a couple $1,000s. And at worst, you walk away, I believe, with a gift card. So make sure you guys sign up for that. If you get selected, you get the chance to make the field goal at the Alabama game. So obviously this weekend being an away game, it won't be for this weekend, but the following home game, they will be back doing the Good Feet Kick for Challenge. So make sure you guys are signed up for that. Again, Good Feet Kick for cash.com. But don't forget about the Good Feet Store in general, premium art and sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, proven to do so in just 4 short weeks. Check them out now, Midtown Village. Whatever you're doing, man, stop on by there, pay them a visit. Walk-ins are welcome, or go to their website, goodfeet.com, to schedule an appointment. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Let's go ahead and hit our first timeout. When we come back, we dive into this Alabama Vanderbilt 30-14 victory. We're going to do that breakdown here. We come back, dive into some clips here in a little bit, and hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer all right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. We'll be right back.
Options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. It's time to do our breakdown on this Alabama Vanderbilt game from this past Saturday. I know that's what you guys want to hear, so let's go ahead and dive into that. All right, where should we start, Reed and Chase? Should we start defense? Should we start offense? Let's just, I don't know. We'll start with the offense, right? And I'll start with offense for a couple of reasons. Number one, when you look at how this game went, we really dominated Vanderbilt for about 3 quarters. First quarter, I'll be honest with you, even parts of second quarter, I initially was a little, not necessarily concerned, but it was like, oh man, it's going to be one of those days. And the reason I say that was, you know, offensively, you know, Ty Simpson throws his first interception on the year, which again, we're talking about through 5 games, still really impressive, but he throws his first interception. That comes after you driving down the field. We're in that red zone area. And I think it was like 4th and 1, if I'm remembering correctly. And so realistically, you know, it ended up being like you punting the ball anyway. So it really wasn't the end of the world. I think that's why he was being so aggressive on that throw. I wish we would have just tried to just, you know, run or do something else for that first down. But that was the call, right? It went the way it went. So it really wasn't like detrimental or anything. But you start with that. And then defensively, we give up a 65-yard rushing touchdown. Cedric Alexander, man, hitting a hole. And I immediately said, there we go. One of my key concerns for this game was Vanderbilt coming in here knowing they're going to want to establish that running game. They've done a good job of it. Their offensive line has looked pretty solid this season. Obviously, we know Pavia's involvement, what he can do. But when they broke that run, I said, oh, man, it's going to be one of those days. But talk about quickly starting to turn things around. And by the time the second quarter came, I mean, you started to see us kind of, you know, flip the script and do some things. And it wasn't perfect because, again, still there were some issues. I'll talk about that. But seeing us start kind of getting things going, they definitely said, all right, they just need some time to kind of settle down, get adjusted, and get in gear. And that's exactly what happened. So let's talk about some of those things. Let's kind of just go over the whole outlook instead of focusing on one thing. So you start with like I just mentioned, right, those things going in Vanderbilt's favor. They're up 7-0. Then they end up having the football again. And they're marching down the field. And this is one of the key plays of this football game. Vanderbilt's in the red zone area. I think it comes off right after Pavia broke that scramble, not scramble, but it was a quarterback design run, right? He hits a gap. And if he had, and he's a quick guy, but he's clearly not fast. I mean, he looked slow when he was running. But anyway, he gets in the red zone area, and they're looking to go up by two scores, right? Mistake on his part, great play on our part. But that fumble that Justin Jefferson forced right there was one of the probably biggest plays in this game. Because you're talking about, you know, whether they went up by, you know, it took the three right there and went up 10, that's two score, but or they ended up scoring. I mean, that could have changed the trajectory of this game, us playing from behind. Who knows, right? But the fact that Justin Jefferson would, I mean, amazing effort to strip that ball out right, and it looked like the knee was like just about to hit the ground, but it came out right before, was huge. I mean, that was a huge game. And shout out to Justin Jefferson. Led the team with 14 tackles, had a sack, had that forced fumble. I mean, he was playing with his head on fire. So really big game on his part. But that play was huge, gave our offense the football. And then you talk about literally to close out that first half, and I'm going to get to the running game here in a second, but that two-minute drill that we executed and talk about whole shots, you know, taking advantage of these defenses playing a lot of cover two, man. The fact that we were able to tie things up going into the half, I thought that was another key point in this football game. That way, when you go to halftime, you kind of reassess, readjust, and it's basically just a flat, neutral game, right? Nothing really matters what happened in the first half because you go into it tied up, and I thought that was a big piece of this football game as well because obviously we came out in the second half a completely different football team and really turned it up a notch. I will say, though, one of the biggest things that stood out in this football game, and I apologize for kind of being all over the place, man. I'm not really going off my notes, but running game, right? And going into this football game, I said there needed to be a few things. I wanted us to establish the run. Why? Because that would help us control the tempo of the game. We've been establishing, you know, good tempo and having sustainable drives. But when you can have a running game to pair with things, it makes it that much easier. And that's what we did. We ended up dominating the time of possession. It was a complete 180 from what we saw last year where Vanderbilt dominated the time of possession. This time it was us who dominated the time of possession, and I believe we had the ball about 37 minutes out of the whole game. They had it for 22 minutes, so we dominated them in that category. Third down, we really are about split on that. We went 7-15, they went 5-11, but still it was better than it was last year. And then our running game, right, that really opened up. I know people have been asking a lot about, hey, is it the offensive line? Is it the running backs? Do you think Jane will make a difference? And if you guys remember my answer, I said, I think, you know, first and foremost, the O-line needs to do their job. But I do think Jam, with his vision and the cuts that he can make, I think that he can, you know, hopefully add a little bit of an element that could make a difference, right? He ends up rushing for 136 yards on the ground. First time we've had a 100-yard rusher since, I think, 2023, and Jace McClellan, I think I heard or saw that stat somewhere. And that was huge. And just watching those runs, and I'll put up the tape here in a little bit to really break it down. I think it really look at it as a number of things. The way we got to certain things, right, whether it was, you know, starting, having Jam split out wide, motion them back in, kind of just doing little nuances, right, that just kind of maybe adds different elements to your running game. We ran a number of different styles of runs, right? I mean, I saw your inside zone. I saw duo. I mean, just a number of different running plays, counter, right? They're mixing it up. I feel like we used to the last couple of years sometimes doing a whole bunch of inside zone or duo, but this time doing different, just different little looks and blocking schemes, right? That I feel like obviously is helped out, but Jam's ability to have good vision, hit the hole, and find that space and really have nice bursts, man. I thought that was really impressive, and obviously it was huge to have that running game in this football game. But I do want to shout out the offensive line, because if you go back and watch the tape, a large piece of that success was because of them executing their assignments. Like, I remember there's one duo run where literally the guys climbed up great. Everybody had a hat on a hat, and there was just an open lane. Jam could hit it and explode for a nice gain. I mean, like, that's how you run the football. You got to be physical. You got to get good movement. We got good movement. You got to sustain blocks. You got to be able to climb and really execute your assignment. And that's what we were able to do. Looking at Ty Simpson, it's kind of crazy if you think about it. Some people are mentioning, like, oh, it was not necessarily saying he took a step back, but he had the turnover early in the game. He took some sacks. But still, if you look at his performance, man, he definitely still played a really good game. And to me, I mean, I think that's just is more of he's kind of set the bar really high for himself. So the fact that he goes 23 of 31 for 340, two touchdowns, only one interception, I think that's why some people are like, well, you know, it wasn't his best game. But really, those are good numbers, right? I mean, the biggest thing that pops up to me, he takes four sacks. And I'll be honest with you, that was probably one of the, if I had to make one complaint about his play from Saturday, held the ball too long in some situations, trying to make something when it wasn't there. And that comes from, you know, lack of experience. Like, and I heard him address it, you know, post-game, right? I mean, he was hard on himself about it, but he's going to learn from that. And it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, you took those sacks. It was not like it was, like, detrimental. I mean, probably could have been in some situations. I think one took us out of field goal range, maybe, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, shoot, throwing for over 300 yards and being 23 or 31, I mean, he was solid. And then you really, if you break down some of the throws that he had, I mean, this guy, I mean, is so impressive. I mean, the first touchdown, he's scrambling out. He puts on the brakes. The defender keeps moving. Ryan Williams does a great job with the scramble drill, cutting back off his route, and literally Titus finds him in the end zone. And just several other plays. I remember there's another one scrambling down towards the boundary. He flips his feet to get set and just delivers a strike. I mean, the stuff that he's doing, man, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think he's playing probably some of the best football at that position in the country. I know we said that last week, but I mean, time and time again, he continues to prove that he is really one of the best quarterbacks in the country right now. And I saw somebody say this, I can't remember where, but it's so true. They said, if Arch Manning was playing the way Ty Simpson's playing, everybody would be crowning him Heisman already, number one overall pick. But it's crazy because since it's Ty and he didn't really have that same, I guess, hype coming into the year, people are still a little, they're slow. Like, he's getting his flowers now, but just imagine if Arch was playing if you swapped their play through five games, I mean, people would be writing Arch to be the next Brady. I mean, all this stuff. But again, that stuff really doesn't matter. It's just kind of crazy when you think about how these narratives drive a lot. But back to the breakdown, let me get on my notes real quick because I don't want to overdo it, man. But looking at the defense real quick, let's switch to the other side. I'll probably remember something on offense. But looking at the defense, we talked about that run. I'll pull it up and break it down here in a little bit. But really was guys took on their blocks correctly, but it was a matter of guys not getting off of blocks, right? The next step is like, yes, when you play gap sound football, like you take on those blocks, you're in the right spot, but then somebody has to make a play. You're not always going to have a free runner. Like somebody, you can't always say, oh, I'm in my gap, right? Cool, I did my job. No, you got to take the next step. When you're in your gap, violently shed and look to make a play. And I can't remember, it looked like it might have been Deontay Lawson, but the ball ended up hitting in somebody's gap where they took on their block, but they didn't get off. Ball squirted out there and ended up being a big game. But you got to tip your hat to Kane Womack, right? I know you know, a lot of people, they come on here and they have their opinions, right? And look, defensively, we were inconsistent. We've given a lot up on the ground, and there's definitely some things that we need to improve on. But you talk about a story of, you know, two halves. I mean, first half, you give up, I think it was like 127 rushing yards on the ground. And really, a big chunk of it did come from just a couple of runs, right? But then in the second half, to only allow 9 rushing yards, right? I mean, you got to tip your hat to him and the guys out there. And obviously, James Smith coming back out there made a difference. But a number of guys looked good. I mean, even London Simmons, a freshman, I thought he played well up front. Obviously, we talked about the linebacker play, Justin Jefferson doing a really nice job, you know, just flying all over the field, making plays. But I thought our defense just was really solid in terms of just really, number one, cutting the head off the snake, and that's Pavia, right? I mean, you know, everything runs through him, and we talked about it. I mean, going into the game, he was the leading passer in touchdowns in the conference. So they added that element, but we know first and foremost, they want to run the football, and they did that. They had success, right? Where there's a couple runs in the first half, the shovel play, we saw that show back up. We talked about that. Unfortunately, they had success on that again, which again is tough to defend. So, you know, tip your hat to them for executing it well. But really outside of a few of those bigger runs, man, our guys up front did a nice job. Linebacker play was better. And man, I just thought overall defensively that second half, man, those guys looked great. They got after the quarterback. You know, there's some concern on my end, knowing that being out a couple guys at the edge spot, I thought maybe that could have been, you know, a little bit of an issue, but it wasn't, man. Yanze Pierre continues to get better and better playing at that edge spot. And in terms of, because I know you're going to ask this, I'll go ahead and tell you, in terms of adjustments made, I don't know if you noticed this, but Kelby Collins, and I mentioned it last week, right? I figured there's a good chance they're probably going to move some guys from that bandit spot over and play, you know, either play technically at Wolf or just have more of those guys on the field, right, to kind of compensate for the guys that are out. Well, that's what we saw. Kelby Collins got in there. Jordan Renaud got in there. And in terms of other adjustments, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but they ended up, they had a couple of times, like when Keon Sapp came up with that interception, we actually were playing a 4-3 defense, which I hadn't really seen us do a whole bunch. You had 41, 10, and zero at the linebacker spots than a traditional four down front. And I think that was one thing the second half. We saw more traditional four down fronts, and I thought that actually helped stop the run. And that's why I always say sometimes, man, get away from the cute stuff, trying to be fancy, moving guys. And listen, man, just let guys line up and play. And I think that's what we got to see a little bit more in that second half. And then last but not least, the turnovers were obviously big. I really feel like we just constricted Vanderbilt's offense, right? They couldn't run the ball the way they wanted to. Then they tried to get back and throw the football. They weren't having success there. We were pressuring Pavia. He obviously was uncomfortable trying to force things. We were coming up with interceptions, especially when we knew there were, you know, clear pass situations. We took away their main threat, their tight end. He was their leading receiver. I don't know what he ended up finishing with, but he wasn't a huge factor in this game. I mean, obviously he made some plays, but not the way they would have definitely wanted him to. Matter of fact, they ended up, Sherrill was their leading receiver with 6 receptions. But overall, man, I mean, I thought our defense was huge in the second half and adjusted well, but that's pretty much what I got for you guys, man. Overall, you walk away with another ranked win. I know it's Vanderbilt. Some people weren't really feeling them even going into this game. But again, they're a good football team, right? They got their first loss against us. They come to Tuscaloosa. And I think what stood out to me most is, number one, after that Georgia game, we come back and we respond the right way, right? We didn't have to worry. Like last year, obviously, I feel like we were riding the high. Then obviously, we saw what happened last year. This year, that was an issue. And then two, the response after not coming out and starting the right way, right? A bad first quarter, an okay second quarter, and then that second half, man, really putting your foot on the gas, adjusting and going out there and dominating. The second half, I mean, I felt like we just dominated them, and I just saw that. And shout out to Caden Prodder, man. He keeps getting these tricks and gimmicks. So I don't know what's next. He might actually be throwing the football next. I mean, I know they're joking about it, but at this point, I wouldn't put anything past Ryan Grubb. And shout out to him, by the way. I feel like he's calling a really good game plan. He's not getting away from the run. That it finally paid off, which was good. And then obviously, I mean, the stuff that he's dialing up, man, this is the offense that we expected when we heard we were hiring Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb from Washington. And I think we've got one of, if not the best offense in the country right now. And if defense continues on the trajectory that they're on and playing the way that they're playing, and start cleaning some things up, do a better job of being more consistent, stopping the run, right? Finding more ways to get after the quarterback and keep pressuring the quarterback, which you've been a little bit better at, right? I think we have a chance to really to make our run here. But again, first and foremost, you got to be where our feet are and understand that we've got this stretch coming up. Go to Missouri. It's not going to be easy. They're a good football team coming off a bye week. We'll talk about that throughout the week. And obviously, you still got to go on the road, play South Carolina. You got LSU, you got Oklahoma, and it's going to be in Tennessee, right? So it's going to be a stretch, and we'll take it one game at a time. But another big victory for Alabama, another ranked win, and now we're sitting inside the top 10, coming in at number 8 on the AP, which, again, don't worry about that. Let it take care of itself. But the good news is we're playing football at a high level and getting better and better each week. The only thing that I would say kind of still is really – obviously, running game, I feel better about it after seeing how we performed Saturday. Still need to continue to maintain those results. But special teams, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Special teams is what it is, man. Hopefully, we we don't have to rely too much on those guys. No offense to them, but just know, I mean, special teams is probably the weak link right now, which could be an issue at some point, but hopefully not too bad. But anyway, that's pretty much what I got, and would love to hear what you guys got to say. 205-342-9904. We want to take a quick time out. We come back. I'm going to read what you guys got in the chat. We'll go to the phone lines and hear from you guys there. Plus, we'll get ready to hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer, get his final thoughts on this matchup, and preview the next opponent, which is Missouri on the road, another ranked game for the Crimson Tide. But we'll do all that when we come back after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Visit Tuscaloosa and Premier Service Company.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Let's do this Monday. ZzzQuil Ultra. Not for colds, just for sleep. Really great sleep. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
It's online today. Tuscaloosa Dodge, Mazda, and Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. Three great dealerships. One promise. Your car your way. In Tuscaloosa today.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, I was reading some of your guys' thoughts in here in the comment section. Again, we are live on YouTube. Feel free to come check us out, hang out with us. We got a very active comment section going. Let's see where we were at. I read some of them during the break. Let's see. Okay, all right. So Carson had mentioned Ty playing like an NFL quarterback at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, Ty has just been so impressive, man. And you can just sense him really just being like a field general out there. I mean, he just does. I mean, again, they do that fake clap. They see what's coming. And dude, it's brilliant, obviously, because, I mean, the headset communication helps so much. But just seeing all those guys out there communicating, they get the fake clap. They see where the pressure's coming. You see him communicating with his offensive line, getting them in the right thing. I mean, that's a huge reason why they're able to have such success, because they're doing a great job with their communication pre-snap, which is nice. And even just like little things like, you know, like play design with Ryan Grubb, man. Like if you guys watch, you'll see like small little shifts from receivers, little stuff like that. You'd be surprised. I mean, that can make a big difference in terms of even causing just the slightest confusion for a defender, right? Or making them change kind of some rules or, you know, alter some of the principles, man. I definitely have been impressed with that too. I agree with Stacey that first, so you know what to expect after that first quarter with the defense, and then a little bit in the second quarter too. Again, they had some plays and were able to put up points, but second half, man, like a whole different football team. So they definitely adjusted. it definitely came out the right mindset. And they really, I mean, they basically suffocated Vanderbilt, man, offensively. They couldn't do anything. Ryan says our defense gets a hard time by folks, including myself. But if you take out that long run that Vanderbilt had Saturday, they will have had a pretty average day, right? So 136 minus 65 is only 71 yards. It's a great point, man. And that's why we talk about, or at least I've been talking about, you got to limit those explosive runs. Really explosive plays in general, because that's what explosive plays do, man. You could do a great job all day, but then you give up a handful of explosive plays and it makes a huge difference. But I'm going to put that play on the screen here in a little bit. That way you guys can see. Again, if you watch it, guys are attacking gaps. I mean, there was one D tackler kind of got pushed off the ball a little bit, but really it was a matter. I think Deontay ended up hitting in his gap. It might have been a B gap. You got to shed, right? It's good that you take on the block, but then the next step is you got to get off the block and try to make a play. And to be fair, sometimes things are going to hit. Like, they're a good football team too, right? You just got to limit stuff. And again, that's why I always say a lot of that stuff look like it could be cleaned up, and I think that's what they've been doing. Let's see. Let's get to a couple more of these real quick while we have a chance. Running defense adjusted. Absolutely, yeah. 9 yards in the second half was brutal, man. I mean, that's tough. That's a hell of a job. You got to tip your hat to those guys out there, man. I mean, they did their job for sure. QD said, I was impressed by Kane and the defensive staff in their halftime adjustments for sure. Ryan said too many field goals, need more touchdowns. And yeah, and so that's why I had written down like the red zone efficiency, just, you know, going for seven, because we obviously, man, we could do it. I mean, like, it's just a matter. I think one of them was when Ty took one of those late sacks. That's what it was, because he took a sack and it ended up putting us in like second and 20. We got behind the chains and we ended up going for a field goal right there. That was a bad decision on his part, right? Ended up probably costing us a field goal instead of a potential touchdown. But again, you learn from those. And again, he was already holding himself accountable post-game in the press conference. He'll learn from that, learn not to hold the ball so long. And no big deal, man, right? You got to have that stuff in the earlier parts. That way, when it comes up down the road, it's not a factor. Let's see a couple more. Ricky says, the O-line, I'd argue we never had a quarterback issue. Ty has always been good. And that's why I said going into the year, man, I agree with you. Everything is going to run through the offensive line. A lot of people are questioning Ty. That wasn't really my concern. I knew we had a good receiver room. I knew that, you know, he's a talented player himself. Offensive line is the biggest thing. And now you're seeing the better that they're playing, the better we look offensively, right? That's not a coincidence. That's why the ball is being ran better. That's why Ty is continuing to play such good football. They're doing a nice job keeping them pretty damn clean, man. I know we gave up 4 sacks, but again, a couple of those were on Ty. It wasn't on the offensive line. One of them definitely was. I think Wilkin was at guard, and dude just kind of blew right past him and slammed Ty pretty damn hard too. But I think at least two of them were actually came from Ty holding the football too long. So not all of them were on the offensive line. Let's hit maybe two more real quick. Tia says, defense still had lapses. Offense helped out the defense too. They got Vandy out of their playing style and scheme, which is true. I mean, when Vandy got in the point a little bit into the second half where they started feeling the pressure playing catch-up, that definitely, you know, probably forced them more into a game that they didn't really anticipate being in. Again, their whole MO is they want to play, keep football, you know what I mean, control the tempo. Then obviously, second half, they weren't able to really do that. They didn't have the luck. And last one, huge play that went under the radar. I don't know if you mentioned it, was the first down conversion to Horton, scrambling to the boundary and somehow find space to get that ball to Horton. I don't think I mentioned that. What part of the game did it come in? I'm trying to think. Man, I had to go back and look. We'll pull up the game here in a second. I'm sure it'll probably come up, but definitely check that out. But no, it probably was a big time play. Shout out to Horton, man. He's been playing some really good football too. Started the year a little quiet, and he's definitely come along the last few weeks. All right, let's do this. Let's hit a quick timeout. We come back, we'll go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. In the meantime, I'll start pulling up some of this tape as well. That way we can break down some of these key plays in this football game. And we look forward to hearing from head coach Kay on the board here in a little bit as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Ty 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. We'll be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Coach Tommy Tuberville. We'll talk to Drew DeArmon. We'll also talk with Martin Houston. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly as we recap Alabama and Vanderbilt every Monday, sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
The Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping 417-6411, 800-417-6411, and give us your answer. The proceeding is not a contest and is a paid advertisement by Family Vacation Getaways. It is not sponsored by this program or its affiliates.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few isolated showers around through tonight. The high today 84, tonight's low 69. For tomorrow, a warm day, a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of scattered showers. The high 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. I jumped the gun. We've got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Wilson, how are you tonight?
Man, I'm great, Tommy. How are you?
Can't complain. I think the defense made great adjustment at halftime. He shut out Vanderbilt in the second half. That's something to be said. Because they have a dynamic quarterback. And they believe when they're coming down here that Vanderbilt will win. This Vanderbilt is not your daddy or your granddaddy Vanderbilt anymore. This year, on the last 2 years, this team believes that they can win every game they play. And then play like that. So.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I only mentioned the rushing yards, but you're right, man. Definitely holding them scoreless as well was huge, right? I mean, again, defense, man, that second half, if you know, like you just mentioned, Tommy, if you play like that as a defense for four quarters, man, I mean, you're definitely one of the top teams in the country. And to be fair, I mean, look, if you look at our scoring defense, I want to say we do actually rank pretty decent there. We do a good job of holding guys and in critical moments making plays. The biggest thing is just got to find ways to, you know, be consistent, right? Limit those explosive plays. And really, I think this is a pretty solid defense that we have. And again, I think they're getting better each week, similar to what we saw last year. And hopefully they continue to do that, which I think they will. Looks like they're trying little different things. And again, tip your hat to the coaches for doing that. Like, for example, even just putting Deontay Lawson on the edge. They're trying to find a way to, you know, develop more pass rush. Not saying he's had some huge impact just yet, but you can see some of the flashes, some of the athleticism. And I think little things like that are going to pay off over the long run.
Well, it did tell you that you can't take Alabama defense. But granted, because they're going to make an adjustment, they're going to move players around. And what?
Mm-hmm.
and with some of our injuries.
Which a lot of people are wondering about that, the adjustments, right? And I feel like we finally got to see some solid adjustments, especially on the defensive side of things. And look, again, like you said, scoreless, holding them to 9 rushing yards, man. So it seems like each week when we have question marks, they're starting to give answers, man, and consistently. So that should put a lot of faith, or a lot more faith, I should say, in this team and in the coaches.
Well, this team on defense, I'm going to see top-notch quarterback and the week. I mean, they're going to see another one this week. A lot of people say Penn State let a long quarterback hit the portal. The guy who's quarterback from Missouri, I think, came from Penn State. And I can't think of his name like this stuff, but I'm following
Ravula.
No.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you're right.
We're going to see everybody mentioned, and we're going to see top-notch football players. That what do you expect when Alabama plays football? I mean, you're not going to see a lot of Monroe every week. You're not going to make nobody 73 or nothing every week. I'm sorry, players, but it don't happen. This is just football.
No, you're right. Yeah, and you got, you know, Missouri on the road. Then you come back, you face number 12, Tennessee. Missouri's ranked 14, so you got number 14, Missouri on the road. Tennessee, number 12 at home. Then you go on the road and face South Carolina, who, again, they've been struggling so far this year. But, I mean, they should have a healthy Lenora Sellers when we face them. It's going to be a tough environment. That's still going to be a challenge. But then LSU, number 11. Oklahoma, number 6. So literally the next 5 games, you've got 4 of the top 15 teams as of now. Now, obviously, that's going to change over the course of the next few weeks. But still, you get my point. Definitely going to be a tough challenge. But that's why it's so important. We're talking about all these little things that they're doing better and improving on. You got to keep that carryover week in and week out, because you're going to need it after you go through this gauntlet. So the good news is, right now, we're playing some really good football, and I think we're playing about as good as football as pretty much anybody in the country, really, if you look at it. The bad news is, man, it's hard to sustain that for 5 straight weeks when you're going through a gauntlet. I think we definitely can do that, but it's definitely going to be a challenge. But, hey, man, you know, that's what you get when you sign up to play in the SEC, and I think these guys are looking forward to it. But, Tommy, we appreciate you, man. Glad to hear from you. You have a great rest of your day.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Long time.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide, Tommy. 2-time Tommy from Romlin. Sorry, we got to hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling. Keep on going to you guys, 205-342-9904. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
The Marion County Prosecutor's Office has informed the press they have now filed a felony charge of battery resulting in serious bodily injury against former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez. Sanchez was arrested on Saturday in Indianapolis following an alleged altercation with a grease truck driver that resulted in injuries to both Mark and allegedly the driver. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson practiced for the first time on Monday since tearing his ACL, opening his window to return from injured reserve. Chargers running back Omarion Hampton suffered an ankle injury on Sunday. He was spotted in a walking boot after the game. He'll get tests and could miss some time. In baseball on Sunday night, Jorge Polanco hit 2 home runs, giving the Mariners their first win in the ALDS series against the Tigers, as that series heads 1-1 back to Detroit. National League in play on Monday night.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers,
trying
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers.
Who are resilient.
And won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches.
Athletic trainers and mentors.
Who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you.
Aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at twodimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge. With New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller.
And his son.
Four-time SEC champion.
And two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion.
Christian Miller.
On Tide 100.9.
And 1230 AM WTBC.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. All right, we're about to go back to the phone lines. Again, if you guys want to watch us break down some tape, I'll do it full-time once we kind of clear up a little bit on the phone lines. But during the breaks, I definitely am doing it and kind of narrating a little bit more. But check us out on YouTube if you want to check that out, at the Miller's Edge. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and keep on rolling there, 205-342-9. Before we got Bryce up next, I believe. Bryce, welcome in.
Hey, Christian.
What's up, Bryce?
Thanks for taking my call. Listen,
absolutely.
I thought that we made good adjustments on defense, and I didn't realize we held them to 9 yards. I know we shut them out, but that's impressive to me.
Yeah, only 9 yards, man.
After what they were doing. But my score, I didn't get a chance to talk to you. I was busy. Was 30-14 was my score. No, you know, 34-17 was my score. I'm sorry, is what I predicted.
You were close.
I didn't get a chance. Yeah, but close sort of works in hand grenades and horseshoes, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, but shout out to you though. I mean, that's pretty dang close.
Yeah. Well, all I know is that I think. This defense, if they can get better, and I like a quarterback that when he admits when he's wrong, you know, he dealt the ball too long. It was his fault. He can't do that. And I'm really impressed. I wouldn't take him over any quarterback in our league right now, maybe in the nation, because he's been real consistent, you know, and that's what you got to have, consistent quarterback play to win a lot of games. And the penalties were low again. And also, another thing, if you have low penalties and you get your running game going, I don't see anybody on the schedule we can't beat if we play like that, you know. And I'm not trying to be a homer or anything, but that's why I look at it.
No, I don't think you're being a homer. No, I mean, even just watching these other teams around the league right now, I'll be honest, that's why I keep saying I think we're about as good as anybody right now, especially in our conference. It's just a matter of can you do those things consistently and just understand that, excuse me, even though we are playing really good, though, when you're in the SEC, Kalen DeBoer, you know, he's even said it. He understands it now. I mean, yeah, I mean, you got to have that. It doesn't matter who it is you're playing. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. And sometimes games, and a lot of times games, especially in this conference, they come down to a few plays at the end, a series, who can get a stop, who can make a play, you know what I mean? So you might have a couple times the ball doesn't fall your way, and that might happen, and, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, no, but we should have everything that we need to pretty much, like you just said, I mean, take care of business with anybody we have on our schedule. I mean, the toughest ones remaining, I would say right now, I mean, this Missouri game is definitely going to be a challenge. It's hard to say. I mean, obviously, LSU is a good team. Oklahoma, I don't know if their quarterback will be. If their quarterback was back
he'll be back for us. He'll be back for us. Trust me.
Was it his throwing hand or his non-throwing hand?
It must have been that he ain't playing.
I assume. Thank you, Reed. Yeah, I mean, they have a really good defense, man. Oklahoma's
I'm not worried about
really
nobody
good.
But Missouri right now. I'm taking games one at a time. I'm not going ahead.
No, I'm just thinking, like, if I had to choose one, I would say Oklahoma with the healthy John Mateer, if he's not too affected by that, and then the way their defense has looked, man, I would probably say that might be the toughest challenge remaining, in my opinion. But you're right, yeah. Missouri's up next, and that's what we got to focus on.
Vandy's going to win a lot of games. It wouldn't surprise me if they beat Texas. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't know who Vandy's got next.
How disappointing has Texas been, man? Arch Manning, and for all the people that kept saying, shout out to Ricky, he kept saying, I don't know why there's so much hype on Arch, man. I mean, he was right, man. And again, not trying to knock the guy, but, I mean, they go and lose to Florida. He hadn't been playing really good football, unfortunately.
Like I said, I wouldn't trade our quarterback for nobody in the country right now, the way he's playing.
That's fair. Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
I appreciate you letting me talk, Christian. And hey,
always.
And hey, it's really booming here. I don't know if you ever heard of Rock of the South, the thing they have in Coleman every year.
Is a country concert?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's going to Decatur, so things are hopping in Decatur. They moved it to Decatur this year. Yep. Oh, we're looking forward to that. That's gonna be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah, I've never been, but I've heard a lot about it, man. But, yeah, that's cool, man. Well, get ready for that, man. Gear up, man. Go ahead and start preparing yourself. I mean, I think it's like a couple-day event.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm on my way to a funeral right now. Nobody in the family was a close friend of mine, that brother. This happened sudden, you know. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, praying for you and your family, Bryce, and your friends, and appreciate you calling, man. Great to hear from you, Bryce.
All right. I appreciate it. Hey, where's P.O.P.?
Your guess is as good as mine, man. He took over that church, and I guess he's just really busy, man. He hadn't really been on here in a minute. I hadn't heard from him, so I think he's got his hands full with his church. And
He took over a church?
Yeah, he's head pastor at a church in Greenville now. Yeah, South Carolina. Yeah, and it's got him really busy.
Yeah,
I know
exactly where that is. I lived in Malden
for
about 6 months. Yeah. All right. Well, so, I'll speak at you later. And is he gonna move down there?
He's kind of on the fence. I think right now he's back and forth, but I think he's thinking about getting a place. I told him he just needs to, because that's part of the problem why he's so busy, is because he's driving back and forth from Columbia.
Yeah, that's at least an hour and a half every way.
Exactly. So, but I'll tell him you asked about him. But, Bryce, we appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Take care, man. All right, let's keep on rolling. We got Carson up next. Carson, welcome in.
Hey, man, Roll Tide, buddy.
Roll Tide, man. How about it, man? Another rain win.
Dude, it looked good, man. I'm just so impressed. Ty is looking like he reminds me of Kirk Cousins, man. I don't know if that's a good comp, but he reminds me of Kirk Cousins.
He's playing good, man.
He is. Vandy messed up, man. They sat in cover two for way too long. I don't know why they didn't mix it up sooner. There's one play. I don't know if you've gotten to it yet or not. I just hopped on here and had to hop in the car and go pick up my dad. But there was one play. They were in cover two. They had shown something else. He goes to the line of scrimmage. I love what they're doing. He'll start an empty and then they'll use the motion to confirm. You know, kind of what they're doing. He checks again, and then he sees the nickel bringing pressure off the left side, and then he checked into that little hole shot to Jeremy on the third. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a second down or third down. I don't remember, but it looked like we were past, and then it looked like we checked the run, and then he saw the nickel, and then he checked the pass again, and that's what it seemed like to me, but. Man, he's just doing such a good job at the line of scrimmage. Every week he continues to impress me. And a little bit of the pressure stuff like that especially in the red area, I predicted the score to be 42 to I think 14. But because I mean we were there with opportunities, we just didn't convert them. But I think that's such a growing moment, you know, where it's like, wait, we can still be better than this. You know, mm-hmm. And so I was really encouraged by what I saw defensively. I mean, you talk about a blender in the second half. I mean, I actually think Diego Pavia played a pretty selfish game. How does Cedric Alexander not get the ball but three times after he scored that long run? I mean,
yeah.
I was
surprised they didn't keep at least going towards their running game. But I mean, we really were doing a nice job when they did at least try to run it. But yeah, I feel like what happened was they kind of got out of their element. I know they've been throwing the ball a lot more, but to me, I feel like it still always was coming off of their ability to run the football. And I think when they kept getting stalemated, and I think they just started, at least for Diego, you could sense he was frustrated. You could just tell his whole he was trying to force things. He's you could tell he just was over it and yeah, I think the defense really just completely interrupted everything that they wanted to do.
Yeah, and you know, I think if you're the offensive coordinator, I respect Tim Beck a lot. I love the offense they run and play with, but I think at that point, like, I don't want to tell coaches how to coach, but you got to kind of tighten the leash a little bit, because especially with quarterbacks and systems that you give a lot of free rein over what they're doing at the line of scrimmage, especially with the RPOs and stuff. I think at that point, like, if you're 10 back, you got to just call a run play. Like, you have to call something to get Diego out of his head. And you know, I saw somebody in chat, it might have been Q, who had mentioned some of the play calling for Brian Grubb that he didn't like down in that area. And I asked the question, you know, I'm like, well, how much of that is Ryan Grubb? Or is it Ty Simpson? Because he gives them, like, Ty, that dude's a general, man. And how much was it pass that turned to run? Or how much was it run that turned to pass? Or both? And so I'd ease up a little bit on Ryan Grubb about the inefficiency. He's giving trust to his guy. And, you know, it's not all on just the play call. And Ty's doing a really good job of making checks at the line. So I would just bring that point up to anybody criticizing some of the play calling on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I can answer. I'll tell you this. Ty's not calling any calls now. What it is they have the communication, and Grubbs give them a call, but they do have it where they do, you know, have him getting in and out of certain things. So I understand what you're saying.
A couple different plays, yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go as far as saying, like, it's like Peyton Manning who had free reign. I mean, Peyton Manning was offensive coordinator on the field, but but the way they do it, man, I think is brilliant. Literally, they're so patient, and sometimes you cut it close, but They're literally trying to get in the best situation possible pre-snap. And I think that's why they're having such that and the fact they go out and execute. But the clap cadence, like you said, utilizing some motion to try to just get guys and see kind of what they might be showing. And then you go back and really, as it's winding down, get into exactly what you want to get into, man. I thought the offensive play has been really solid through the first five games.
Yeah, it was hole shot after hole shot. It's like, why are you playing cover two against this man? Like, yeah. He's just making you pay, you know, at your depth, you know, at the depth they were at. He was just making them pay every single time. I think it was like seven hole shots, if I'm not mistaken.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, it was a lot. It just kept making them pay. And, yeah, I mean, can Caden Proctor kick a field goal, do you think?
I don't know. I do know my dad was a backup kicker at the University of South Carolina as a defensive end. So at this point, I wouldn't put it past Caden Proctor. I mean, he's doing everything else outside of playing tackle, which he's been playing really, really good at his main job. But obviously, he's taking on part-time jobs now. So maybe we should try him out.
I know. Yeah, I think I'd rather have one of those college game day kickers than Talty right now.
I mean, it might be a confidence. Hey. I don't know, but yeah, I will, like, all seriousness, our special team, like, even the punt, like that punt. What was
Blake Dowd's not doing well either.
Yeah, but especially they've got to pick it up seriously, because I mean, when you get in these big games, we're talking about coming down to small details, man. You do not want it to be a game where it's like, man, we should have won that game, but field position was terrible because of special teams. We couldn't rely on the kicker. You know what I mean? Like that. That's got to get cleaned up, man. So that's really probably the biggest. We keep talking about question marks each week. That's the one for me right now. Special teams. I'm calling you out, man. Got to be better.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Well, I'll let you go. I just wanted to give my kudos to Ty and the offense and the defense in the second half, man. Really, really good performance. Kind of leaned on them late in the game, and I'm just super proud of the guys. Brian Denny was rocking, too.
Nice. Yeah, I was about to say, I couldn't make it, but that's good to hear. Yeah, the second person now saying that it was, and that's what it needs to be, man. And a few years ago, I said this. I said, with all due respect, after playing in all these SEC venues, I couldn't really put Brian Denny as one of the top five, really, in terms of like the most loudest environments that I played in. But I would argue over the last couple of years, they've been able to really, the fans have done such a great job of really kind of restoring that. And I would argue now it's probably back up there. But initially, I'm not going to lie, it was kind of like around like Coach Saban's last year or two. I remember like 22 or something like that. I was like, man, bro, our environment, man, like we got to get that back going. And I feel like y'all have done a great job with that.
Yeah, it was super loud in there. You couldn't hear on third down late in that game. Super good.
Well, there you go. I'd love to hear that. Well, Carson, we appreciate you, man. Glad you had a great time, man. Appreciate you calling in as always and listening.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you for taking my call.
Always, man. Be easy, brother. Good deal. All right, we got to hit another timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We will hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer, who just finished up speaking or is speaking right now. So we'll do that after we hear from you guys a little bit more right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Gutter inspection today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny this afternoon. A few isolated showers around through tonight. The high today, 84. Tonight's low, 69. For tomorrow, a warm day, a mix of sun and clouds with a chance of scattered showers. The high, 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 79 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's keep on rolling. Up next, we've got Q06. Q, welcome in.
What's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Great, brother. How's everything?
Dude, I am sunburned, man. I mean, it was hot. Honestly, galore, man. 2:30 afternoon, it was hot. And I really do think that it made a difference in the game. I think that I never thought I'd say that we look stronger in the trenches on both sides of the ball. in the starting halfway to the third quarter, the fourth quarter, we're just pushing, man. It was just, we could have done a lot more on running the ball, I felt like. But here's my two cents from the game.
Wait, hold on. You said we could have done more?
We could have. We had opportunities that we did that one play where we let Jeremy run the ball. And, it's like, man, you just look like it wasn't going to go. I thought we'd done a great job running the ball, but we could have ran the ball a lot more. I mean, it just, from the looks, just looked like it was there.
Well, I'm watching the tape. Jam rushed for 136 yards on 22 carries. And I'll be honest, I mean, I don't know what our average was per carry. I can probably pull it up. But
probably 7 yards.
Yeah, I was about to, I think that, I know Jams, as a team, it says 3.8, but that includes the negative 3 yards from Jeremy Bernard, and then a negative 6 from, I guess, Ty, probably including the sacks. But yeah, no, I mean, it looked like 5-6 yards a carry, at least when we were traditionally running the football. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying it, just looking at us fans up there shouting, we're like, man. Even on the interception, I think we had to get one yard on that play. And we were driving pretty good. And then, I mean, it just shocked everybody. Everybody in the whole stands was like, what? I passed. And then the interception, which made it seem more like a punt. It didn't really feel like it was a bad interception, but it didn't really feel that bad because they would have got the ball with better field position. But overall, I just felt, man, Carson, I was looking for Carson. Man, that place was so packed, I couldn't find anybody. I found David Palmer, and that was by accident. I couldn't find anybody there. But listen, man, Pavia. I saw on the sidelines. We watched Pavia. Pavia took some hits, and he was jumping up like the hit didn't hurt. And then he'd get drummed again. I really do, man. He started to think about it. See some of those hits. You go back and rewatch the game, Christian. He took some hits.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. And that's what you got to do, though, man. You got to make that dude pay. And I think those ended up playing a factor. I mean, you look at really just how he played in the second half, man. That's why I said I felt like we put a lot of pressure on him, not just from like a pass rush perspective, but I think he's taking hits. He didn't have the time to do what he wanted to do. I mean, the coverage was pretty solid on our end. He couldn't make the throws he wanted. I mean, I think he just was – he was in for a long day, man. That's what you got to do.
I mean, Manziel just looked like a bunch of, unspoiled kids. Him and Johnny Manziel on the sideline. And then you could just tell, man, Manziel was like, what are you doing, dude? And I mean, why was he down on the sidelines? I don't even know. I mean, I don't understand that terminology. That's like letting drunk Willie on the sidelines. I mean, I don't understand the terminology. But it was a great game. Go ahead, I'm sorry. What
do
you think, Christian?
No, I was going to say, I guess he's a mentor to Pavia. I think he's kind of feeding off the attention that he's getting from it, to be honest with you. But,
and Carson said the same kind of loud. But, man, when they ran that long touchdown on that very first, when that missed assignment happened, they ran that touchdown. I mean, it just felt like the stadium never really came back to full life. We had some third down plays where we were up yelling and screaming. And that targeting call that got missed on Ryan Williams, I mean, Ryan Williams takes some hits too, man. I mean, God love him for getting back up and ready to run deep again. He don't look like the very biggest guy. I mean.
He's not. He's definitely not. But but he's a dog, though. He can take those shots. I mean,
that scoop and score, I was so scared the referee was not going to overturn it. I mean, that Dan Gordo, whatever his name is, Gautreau, he always is known for just missing a call or doing something crazy. So, anyway, I had a great time in Tuscaloosa again, man. That was my fourth time down. I went down to try to find Wyatt at the radio station, and Scatterfield, whatever it is, you could never find that radio station. All I found was a car dealership and,
It's kind of tucked. It's tucked away. That's what it is. Not tucked away, but from the outside, you wouldn't know it's exactly a radio station. That's what it was. It's not your fault. If you don't know exactly what to look for, it just kind of looks like a bland, kind of like brownish, grayish building. It's not like a
restaurant.
It
looks like a restaurant or something, man. I don't know. But anyway, that was disappointing. I wanted to actually come down and get to meet Wyatt Fulton, those guys. I was hoping Chase would be there, but. You know what? It was a great game, 30-14. I can't really say much it was a beautiful environment, very hot. Very hot. But, man, you know, that's the only thing I can say. Hey, maybe next time I'll get a chance to chop it up with you, man. You know, it's just games like that, there's just so many people. Oh, my God. I mean, it's just
amazing. And I wasn't around Saturday, so I wasn't even there. So, but I'll definitely, man, we'll definitely get to make it happen. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. I'm glad you guys got to get down here, and it was a good one. We walked away with the win, man. That's always.
And I was looking for Carson. Carson was trying to link up. And I'm like, man, there's just no way. I mean, a brother don't stand out. Another brother, I mean, we all look the same when it comes down there. But I mean, it was all good, man. Roll Tide, guys. I'm kind of nervous already for the Missouri game. I mean. Every week.
Oh, man, be where your feet are, man. We'll take it one game at a time. I wouldn't worry too much, but it should be a good one, though.
I mean, it's just a tough schedule, Christian. I mean, look at
it. No, it is.
If you sign up for it, you can't play in the SEC, you sign up for it. But, man, the rest of the year, it's just going to be Ty Simpson needs to play like he played, minus the interception, minus the two sacks, and we're going to look good the rest of the year.
That's true. Well, Q, we appreciate you, bro. Glad you had a safe trip here and back, and always good to hear from you, brother.
1,060-mile trip, one stop at Bucky.
There you go. Guys. Yes, sir. We'll see you, brother. Be easy. Good deal. All right, let's hit a timeout. That way we can keep on rolling, stay on schedule. Again, we are breaking down the tape during the timeout since we're so loaded on the phone lines. But so if you guys want to see that, at the Miller's Edge on YouTube. Quick timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores!
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for
other language. Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Let's keep on rolling, man. We are loaded on the phone line. So I told you guys, I'm going to keep trying to do a better job of letting you guys get on here. That way we don't leave anybody stranded. So let's go back to the phone lines. We got MC up next. MC, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing today, Christian?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm great after this past week in the games.
Yeah, for sure, bro. You said games, plural. What are the other ones?
Well, I thought the Florida-Texas game was a really good game to watch. I thought UCLA beating Penn State was just like chef's kiss, in a sense, just because it was a little bit of a redemption for Nico to show that he's still a good quarterback, but also still kind of show the narrative on Coach Franklin's a little overrated at Penn State. But I just thought it was a good split of games.
Oh, yeah, that's true. No, for sure. I didn't know if you were talking NFL. I didn't know if you're an NFL fan, too.
I am, but my Falcons always let me down.
Yeah, well, I would say the same thing about my Panthers, but, hey, we got us a dub. We beat Miami. I don't know if that's saying too much because they're like a shell of what they were at least the last couple years right now. But, hey, a dub is a dub, but... Yeah, you're right, man. Definitely good slate. But, yeah, how about this game? What did you think about Bama Vandy?
So, my first thing is, if you're the head coach, Clark Lee, who I think is a stand-up head coach, why would you let your quarterback associate with Johnny Manziel? Why would you even let Johnny Manziel on your sidelines like that? No disrespect to Johnny Manziel. He won a Heisman. We all know what he did in 2012. But we also know that Johnny Manziel admitted to partying, going to strip clubs, doing drugs, smoking weed, drinking, doing everything he weren't supposed to do, and potentially putting himself and his team in a position to either get hurt or to lose games that they could have potentially won. So why would you let that guy influence your quarterback like that? I have no idea. Would you let, if you were Coach Clark Lee, would you let Johnny Manziel on your sideline?
I'll be honest with you, man. It depends. I mean, I know he allegedly has kind of changed a lot about his ways and what he does. I know things look a little bit different now. So it would depend. Personally, if I was a coach, I mean, I would be very limited on who would be down there because I just don't want distractions. But I'll be honest with you, man. I mean, like, I'm not mad at it either. Look, I mean, his team, his program, I'm not really – I'll be honest, I feel like I'm kind of indifferent. I don't think it's, like, that big of a deal, but I also could see how it could be a little bit of a distraction. But that's just my opinion.
Okay, fair. The next thing I want to say is his defense is growing up in front of our eyes every weekend. And after week one, it was the defense is terrible. We need to fire Coach Womack. So then the defense went out and pitched a shutout against ULM, and everybody laughed because it was ULM. Then the defense went out, or the narrative was, we'll do it against a Power 4 opponent. So then Alabama played Wisconsin and beat Wisconsin, and it was, well, that's not super impressive because Wisconsin isn't ranked. Then Bama went on the road into Athens and beat Georgia and ruined their home winning streak, their 33-0 home winning streak, and dang near pitched a shutout in the second half again, and the haters still wanted to talk bad about Coach Womack. And now you pitch a second half shutout against one of the most high powered offenses in the country, led by a difference maker at quarterback. And people still want to talk bad about Coach Womack. I think the defense looks really, really good. I think they look much improved. And I think these guys have the potential to not just be a good defense, not to be a great defense, but to be an elite defense. And what I think some Bama fans don't get, or haters or doubters, is that elite, you can be an elite defense and not look like what Coach Saban ran. Elite defenses don't always mirror each other and the schemes that they run, but they execute at a high level and have good eye discipline, play with discipline, and cut down on mental errors and mistakes. What's your opinion about the defense on that?
I'll say this. I'm probably not as critical as some, but to be fair, I do point out, because again, it's my job. I mean, I like, you know, calling things, you know, straight and how I see them. And to be honest, I think we do a number of things well, but there are still some things that have to be better. Rushing defense, you've got to clean that part up. And the good news is, when they limit the explosive plays, it actually, you know, paints a different picture. But that's just the biggest thing. We've got to be consistent. Right now, I'm looking at the numbers, which, again, I watch all the film. I'm not just going only off of numbers, but we still are 13th in rushing defense, right? So that number's got to improve. Passing defense, we're second, and I feel like we're doing a nice job there. Again, we got a really good secondary. But my other question was the pass rush with our defense, right? Knowing that we needed to find ways to affect the quarterback. I had concerns there because I'll be honest with you. I just don't think we have elite pass rushers. And again, I mean, I played the position. I played here. I think I'm qualified to say that. And it's not a knock on anybody. It's just like Georgia. I don't think they have any elite, you know, game breakers at that position. But I will say, I think we've been doing a nice job of finding ways to get pressure. And shout out to Yanze Pierre, because I said, if you go back and listen, I said he's going to end up having to be a key factor for this defense throughout this year. And sure enough, he's had to do that, especially with the injuries. And he's definitely been coming up. He might not have a ton of sacks right now, but he's actually really effective at getting after the quarterback. And I just think some of the other guys are stepping up too. James Smith is playing a lot better, playing how I thought he should be playing. Before Quay got hurt, he started coming along. I just think guys are playing better football defensively. But to answer your question, I would say we definitely don't have an elite defense. I would say we have it's hard to explain because it's like sometimes I watch it and I'm like, man, we're playing some really good football defensively. And there are other times I'm like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like why are we giving up stuff we shouldn't be giving up? That's my biggest thing. I think if they could find a way to be more consistent, I'd feel a lot better about it. But I think they do get too much flack, but I also think there are some criticisms that are definitely justified, and not just to knock them, but to say those are areas that we have to get better on. It's just a fact. If you want to, you know, in the long run, accomplish all your goals, you got to get better at stopping the run. You got to make sure you're consistently affecting the quarterback and limiting explosive plays. Those are just facts and not just like harsh criticism.
Agreed. I don't think they're an elite defense yet, but I do think the defense is showing signs week in and week out that they can answer the call.
But true, true. They do respond. You're right. They do respond. I'll give them credit there. They're really good at when they need something to happen, they make something happen. You're right about that. I 100% agree with that.
I mean, maybe this is just me, but if the defense can shut down the red zone, then I'm cool with that. I want the explosive plays to stop, absolutely, because one explosive play, and that can blow the top off of anything. That changes the momentum of a game. But if you're telling me it's out the red zone, you shut that down and force turnovers, I'll take that all day. I'll take that all day. If I have to give up a 50-yard run in order to get an interception in the red zone, then go ahead and get your little 50 yards. Go ahead and get your little 50 yards and then give us the ball. I'll take that. And then the last thing I want to say is, man, I am very excited about Ryan Grubb's play calling, but I absolutely despise when people start to get cute. Don't get cute. Just run. Just play your style of football. You don't have to get cute. Lining up Jeremy Bernard in a wildcat, that's getting cute. That was unnecessary. You didn't need to do that. Everybody in the world knew Jeremy Bernard was going to run with that ball. He was not about to throw it. He wasn't about to do some pitch. He was in the backfield by himself in the wildcat. Everybody knew that was going to be a run. And that, I think that was a terrible call. I'm cool with them using Proctor because Proctor shows that he's worthy of it. He's earned that title. But just play straight. Just go straight downfield, man. You don't have to do anything cute with your play calling. That bites a lot of teams every single season. Teams put themselves in the position to either win a big game that people didn't think they were going to win, or they're playing a game that people think that they were going to blow the doors off, and it turned into a game. Now they think they got to go down into a bag of tricks. But regardless of what it is, teams sometimes get cute and it ends up costing them. And I'm not a big fan of it. What is your take on Coach Grubb doing these like little cutesy trick and gadget plays? And I'm not talking about going to Proctor. I'm not talking about Proctor because Proctor, as much as I know that is a gadget play, that is a successful gadget play. And that was something that caught Georgia off guard. But this against Vandy going wildcat, not a fan. What's your opinion on that one?
I'll say this. I like what he does a lot of the times pre-snap. You know, I mentioned earlier on the stream not long ago, you know, lining Bernard up in the backfield and those pony looks. I think that is good to kind of keep a defense on his toes and just small little things that, you know, makes them even a step behind or something they have to respect. And then you can always build off of that too. In terms of the Wildcat, I'll be honest with you. The way I look at it, MC, is like, look, nobody's going to be 100%. I mean, think about it. Say you run 50 offensive plays in a game, sometimes more. If we're only saying like a few of them were bad calls, I think that's probably about standard. You know what I mean? But I do agree that, you know, getting too fancy, I talk about it on defense all the time. I hate when sometimes we have guys kind of hovering around, roving and mugging in gaps instead of just doing a four down front and just getting after it. So I get what you mean there. That call specifically, I mean, like I said, that one call was what it was. I mean, we ran the gimmick against who was it? Was it Wisconsin with Brian Williams scoring at long screens, like the double reverse throwback? So, I mean, like when it works, everybody's going to be glazing it and talking about this. Oh, that's the greatest call we've ever seen. And when it doesn't work, people are going like, what are we doing? So, I mean, that kind of comes with the trick plays. But I will say overall, I do think he's been probably the best play caller we've had the last 5 years, going back to, you know, O'Brien and what was the other guy, Reese, obviously Nick Sheridan. I think what he's doing right now has really been proven to be, what we thought it would be when he came here. So I'll be honest, I like what he's doing, but I agree with you that you don't need to be too fancy sometimes. But I'll be honest, in terms of his whole body of work, he's committed to the running game. I respect that. He's doing a lot of good stuff with Ty, doing stuff early on to get him comfortable and adjusted, and now we're seeing Ty really flourish. So, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I like Ryan Grubb as a play caller. I can let him get away with a little wildcat here and there.
Agree. I like Ryan Grubb as a play caller, but I wasn't a fan of that at all. And then the last thing I want to say before I get out of here, because I know I'm holding up the phone line, is we talked about having elite defensive linemen, having elite pass rushers. I feel like that falls back down on recruiting. And something that Alabama has got to do is you got to put the gate back up around the state. You can't keep losing your top like your top players in the state to Oregon years in back-to-back years in a row. And I know that people want to say NIL has something to do with it, and it probably did. But I'm just saying something that works very well. If Coach Saban was able to put that gate up around the state, and I know Coach DeBoer and his staff are trying to do that right now, but I feel like part of this boils back down to recruiting. You got to recruit and maintain and work your butts off in order to get these elite pass rushers, because I feel like that's the missing piece to the defense. I think that's the missing piece. I think the secondary has locked it up very well. I think the linebackers, even though they've given up a couple, they've gotten gashed a few times, they play with good gap integrity. They're sound. They get a hat on the hat. They can make good open field tackles. Justin Jefferson looks good when he made that huge sack on Diego Pavia. But what you are missing is an elite pass rusher. You have to have an elite pass rusher, and there isn't one. And I think that's where the staff really needs to get down and to the meat on the bone and say, hey, man, we need to recruit these elite pass rushers, so that when we finally develop this talent and get it cultivated, we put the product on the field, that's a difference maker. That's the difference maker. There isn't another Christian out there. There's not another Will Anderson out there. There's not another pass rusher out there that's getting to the quarterback in a short amount of time and making things difficult for them. So I don't know. That's just my take, but I think recruiting is going to help balance that out, but you got to get that.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. And I'll just say this real quick because we got to hit this break. I think if it's me, I treat it like salary cap. And I would say this, we put in a lot of money towards all these skill guys, right, in recruiting, which is great. That's always exciting. But if I'm Courtney Morgan, I am carving out some money, even if I got to take some from some of these skill guys, and I'm putting my money up for a pass rusher and a dominant defensive tackle. And I agree 100% with you. I think that would make the biggest difference for this unit. AMC, man, great stuff, man. I appreciate the phone call. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking my call, Christian. Have a great day. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. All right. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We got time for maybe one more call. So we'll try to squeeze one or maybe two in if we can. And then we'll get to the press conference stuff tomorrow. No problem going to you guys. But we basically mix up the Talking Tuesday. We'll just change it around. Mondays will be our Talking Days, and Tuesday will be, I don't know, press conference. I don't know. Let me shut up so we can get to break. That way we can come back. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to feature Coach Tommy Tuberville. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. We'll also talk with Martin Houston. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly as we recap Alabama and Vanderbilt every Monday, sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com, starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
The house.
95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Hey, and welcome back into Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We literally only have a minute and a half, so... Smitty, yeah, you got a minute if you want to try to squeeze something in here. Smitty, you got about a minute and some change, brother, if you're still there.
Smitty's gone.
Is he gone? All right. And then is it Ann or what's that? How do you pronounce that? I'm not too sure. Anand?
Anand?
I'm sorry. Anand? Is that right?
Yeah, Anand.
Anand, I'm sorry. You got about a minute, brother. So I'm sorry, man. We've been loaded on the phone lines.
I got you. Thanks for taking my call. Anyways, you were talking about Oklahoma's defense, how good they were.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but they're actually number one. Guess who's number two?
Who's that?
Missouri.
That's right. Yeah, you're 100% right. I got to pull back up. Missouri is number two. Yeah. Hey, we're moving on up too. We're number four now in total defense. So we're making. But you're right, man. Missouri's got a good team, man. And they're like top in the country when it comes to offense too, man. Or the conference.
Yeah, but they haven't played anybody.
No, they haven't. But I mean, have you seen their running back, man? I mean, he's a good football player.
I guess we'll find out Saturday. Anyway, hey, real quick before I let you go, did Bama stop running the ball at some point in the third quarter?
Not that I was aware of. I mean, I'm on.
It just seemed like at some point in the game that all we saw was Ty Simpson dropping back fast.
Yeah, I mean, they might have, you know, cut back on some of the runs that they're calling, but I'll be honest. I mean, we were having a lot of success, you know, through the air. So, you know, I think sometimes you just go with the rhythm of the game. I mean, we again, I think that the secondary for Vanderbilt is really suspect, and we were taking advantage of it. So, kind of we're leaning into that a little bit more, maybe.
All right, got it, man. Hey, thanks. I know you got to run. I broke
that. Yeah, and I apologize, Anana. Man, we've been loaded, man, so we ain't really have a bunch of time.
All right, thanks. Anyways, I'll call back.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, man. Now, I hate when we have to do that, man. We only literally so much time that we have. But I appreciate everybody that wants to jump on the calls. I promise we try to get to as many people as possible. And if you got left stranded, feel free to hang on. You can hop on the next show probably. I'm sure Wyatt would take your call. But big thanks to everybody tuning in. Chase and Reed behind the glass. Big thanks to everybody tuning in via Tide 100.9, via the app, via our YouTube stream, via Facebook as well. You guys are the ones that make this possible. So big thank you to all you guys. We appreciate the support. And we look forward to doing it again with you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll see you guys then.